Shalom Chavarim, this is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, and I want to wish you a happy holiday season, Chag Hanukkah Sameach, as well as Chodesh Tov. We're celebrating the new moon of Tevet during this holiday week, and Shavua Tov to a good week, B'Shem Yeshua Meshichenu, in the name of Jesus our Messiah, blessed be He. Now our Torah portion for this week is Vayigash, a Hebrew word which means, and he drew near, referring to Judah and how he drew near to Joseph to intercede for his brother. And you can read Parshat Vayigash in your Bible from Genesis chapter 44, verse 18 through chapter 47, verse 27. Now our Torah portion begins with the intercession of Judah before a disguised Joseph for the life of his falsely accused brother, Benjamin. An event that culminated in the revelation of Joseph to his brothers when he said, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai, which means, I am Joseph. Is my father yet alive? The stunned brothers stood back in dismay, but Joseph then said, come nearer to me, please. In Hebrew, Geshu na'alai. And then he said again to them, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into Egypt. In Hebrew, Ani Yosef achichem, asher mechartem oti mitzrayma. Joseph then explained to his brothers that though they meant him harm at the time, it was all part of God's plan. For God had sent him forth to save many lives, so they should not be angry with themselves. The brothers are then sent back to Canaan to bring Jacob to the land to withstand the time of famine. Joseph and Jacob are then finally reunited after some 22 years, and the 70 souls who came with Jacob to Egypt were all settled in the land of Goshen. Now the name Goshen is actually a Hebrew play on words. It means drawing near, and it shares the same root as our Torah portion, Vayigash, namely the Hebrew root Nagash. So there's a lot of wordplay in this Torah portion. For example, the portion begins with Judah, Vayigash, and he drew near to Joseph and intercedes on Benjamin's behalf. Joseph then draws near to his brothers, and his brothers draw near to him. Later, Israel draws near to his long-lost son, Joseph, and Joseph draws near to him. And finally, the people of Israel are settled in the land of Goshen, which means drawing near. So it sort of symbolically represents the reunion and healing of the fractured people of God. So that was a sort of executive summary of our Torah portion. And now I'll just review this again with a little bit more detail and close it out by wishing you Shavua Tov and a happy holiday week. I encourage you to read this portion in your Bibles. Again, Genesis chapter 44, 18 through 47, 27. I know it's holiday week, but making time for God is our first concern. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will take care of themselves. So with that said, let's talk a little bit more about this Torah reading. Now, last week's Torah portion was called Miketz, and it told how Joseph's unjust imprisonment finally came to an end after he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and advised him to prepare for 7 years of coming famine. Greatly impressed by Joseph, Pharaoh immediately appointed him to be the sovereign viceroy over all of Egypt. The famine then spread throughout the region, including the land of Canaan. And after a couple years, Jacob sent 10 of his sons to Egypt to buy grain, but kept Benjamin home for fear of his safety. After making the trip to Egypt, the brothers came before disguised Joseph and sought to purchase grain. Joseph recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him, and Joseph then accused them of being spies. When his brothers protested their innocence and gave account of their origin, Joseph demanded that they confirm their story by bringing Benjamin to Egypt and then imprisoned Simeon as a hostage. When they returned to Canaan, the distressed Jacob finally agreed to send his youngest son, but only on the sworn promise of Judah for his welfare. When the brothers went back to Egypt the second time, Joseph received them with a feast and released Simeon, but when they left for home the following day, he sent his steward to arrest Benjamin, who had been framed for stealing a planted divination goblet. As Benjamin stood before Joseph accused of the theft of a chalice, Judah drew near, Vayigash, and offered himself in exchange for his brother, pleading with Joseph to spare his father the loss of yet another son. Moreover, since he had personally pledged for his safe return from Egypt, Judah asked to remain in Egypt as Joseph's slave in Benjamin's place. Upon hearing Judah's poignant plea, Joseph ordered everyone except his brothers out of the room and then wept aloud. According to Midrash, that is ancient Jewish commentaries, Just before Joseph revealed his true identity, he turned to his brothers and said, "You told me that your brother Joseph died. Are you sure?" "Yes, we are. He's dead," the brothers replied. Joseph then became angry and said, "How is it that you lie? You sold him as a slave. I bought him myself and can call him right now." Joseph then turned and called out, "Joseph, son of Jacob, come here right now to speak with your brothers." Terrified, the brothers turned to see if Joseph was coming. When Joseph then overheard his brothers contritely preparing to meet their brother and to humbly ask for his forgiveness, he then looked at them and said in a loud and solemn voice, "Who are you looking for?" "Ani Yosef, ha'od Avichai?" "I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?" Notice that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers using Hebrew speech as the token of his identity. When he saw his brothers draw back in fear at a shocking disclosure, Joseph reassured them by saying, "Geshu na'elai, please come near me, come and see." And he solemnly repeated that he was indeed their long-lost brother whom they had sold into slavery. Joseph then comforted his brothers and explained that the famine would last 5 more years, and that God had providentially raised him up to preserve the family's life. Joseph then assured his brothers that it was not you who sent me here, but God. He then urged them to return home and bring Jacob to Egypt, where they would live in the land of Goshen and be provided for by Joseph. Afterward, Pharaoh learned of the brothers' arrival and instructed Joseph to tell them to bring Jacob and all members of his household to Egypt to live in, quote, the fat of the land. The king even offered wagons to assist their journey to Egypt. Joseph gave them sets of clothing. Benjamin received 5 sets plus 300 shekels of silver, additional provisions, and 20 donkeys laden with the finest things of Egypt as a gift for his father Jacob. The brothers then left for their return trip to Canaan. When they arrived there, the sons of Jacob told their father all that had happened. And Jacob, after seeing the gifts from Egypt, finally exclaimed, "Maspik, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." After being reassured by God in a dream that it was safe to leave the promised land, Jacob and all the members of his household began the journey to Egypt. The portion then lists the names of the direct descendants of Jacob, not including his sons' wives, numbering 66 persons in all. Adding Jacob himself and Joseph with his 2 sons Ephraim and Manasseh, we have a total of 70 who began the generation that lived in Egypt. The Torah then says that Jacob and his household arrived in Egypt, where Joseph went out to meet him upon his chariot. Israel wept when Joseph embraced him after their 22 years of separation and said, "Now I can die, having seen for myself that you are still alive." Joseph then told his brothers to tell Pharaoh that they were shepherds, so they would be sent to the fertile land of Goshen. The Torah portion ends as Joseph continues to amass a fortune, including cattle and land, for the grain held in Egypt's storehouses, which he conferred to the Pharaoh. Indeed, he set up a tax system in which 1/5 of the land's produce would become property of the state, 20% tax rate. Only the priests were exempted from this tax. The Israelites lived in Goshen, where they acquired more property and were fruitful and multiplied in number. So that's a very brief overview of our Torah portion this week. Revelation and a lot of drama in this Torah reading. Now here are a few discussion topics and things to think about this week as you're reading this Torah portion. First, it was Judah's idea to sell Joseph into slavery, but later he was willing to become a slave in exchange for Benjamin's freedom. How did his speech to Joseph, when he drew near, reveal that his heart had changed, especially in relation to his father's love for Rachel and her children? Number 2, Joseph forgave his brothers, but not without first testing them. Jewish tradition states that we're under no obligation to forgive another person until the person recognizes their fault. Do you think that Joseph was justified testing, or that is almost deceiving his brothers? Third, Jewish tradition says that the brothers never told Jacob that they had sold Joseph into slavery, and therefore to make sense of how Joseph got to Egypt, Jacob had surmised that his son had gotten lost and had somehow gotten sold into slavery into Egypt and later was promoted by the Pharaoh. Are there times when it's better to keep silent about a wrongdoing? And why didn't the brothers confess their sin to Jacob after all? Fourth, and related to the previous discussion question, Jewish tradition also states that Joseph never told Jacob what his brothers did to him. Presumably this was to avoid the sin of Lashon Hara, that is, given an evil report or saying something negative or critical of someone, even if it happens to be true. Joseph had reasoned that his father had suffered enough and he didn't need to have his father suffer further through the knowledge that his brothers had betrayed him and sold him into slavery. So what are your thoughts on that? We have an obligation to guard our lips. And this is a really tough one for me, especially when I'm feeling upset or frustrated or tired, to not engage in Lashon Hara or even abusive speech toward myself. So Shemirat HaLashon, which means guard your lips, guard your tongue so that you won't bring pain to other people. God forgive us for doing that. That's a terrible sin, and it needs to be repented of if it's active in your life. You know, it's Lashon Hara is considered such a serious thing that the sages, the traditional sages, classical sages, regard this as a form of soul murder. And they say that because when you embarrass someone in public or shame them, you bring the blood to their face so that this is a form of bloodshed, if you will. Sixth, since the Egyptians worshipped animals, including sheep, Joseph identified his family as shepherds and settled them in the land of Goshen in northeast Egypt, away from Egyptian culture and its influences. How important is the idea of separation from worldly culture to you in your relationship with God? And finally, how is Joseph a picture of Yeshua the Messiah? Now, last week I had talked about that. I gave over 60 different analogies between Joseph and Yeshua, but it's a good idea for you to just be fluent in understanding how he indeed reveals the advent of our Messiah as the Savior, and both as a suffering servant, rejected by his brothers, and also as an exalted Savior to Israel. So again, I want to wish you a very happy holiday season with you and your loved ones. And if you're lonely, I pray that God will bring some comfort to you and a sense of connectedness, especially with him. This is a tough time of year for me. I can get caught up in the commercialism of the holidays, and you know, when we're dealing with family and there's all these interactions going on, it can bring up conflicts or painful memories, connections you had with people that were difficult, and there might be a need to make amends with people, or if that has already been done, there still can be a tension involved. So I pray that this will be a peaceful holiday season for you, and that you won't get stressed out, that you'll have your eyes on our Lord as you draw near. My family celebrates both Hanukkah and Christmas. I have a website article about the birth of Jesus, the birth date of Yeshua, that I encourage you to look at if you're wondering about what is the proper anniversary of the birth of Yeshua. With all due respect and proper reverence, I want to say that the question of his birth, the birth date of Messiah, is secondary to the more primary issue of his sacrificial death for us. In other words, he was born to die, and that was the whole point of his birth. That's the end, the goal. In Jewish tradition, the day of your death is more important than the day of your birth. So we know that Yeshua's Yahrzeit, his anniversary of his death, was Erev Pesach. That's not in dispute. Our scriptures are clear on that. Yeshua is our Passover lamb slain for our sins. So we have that date set, and that's what's most important, as Paul said. He said, I delivered unto you what is of first importance, namely that Christ or Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised again. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. That's the essential point. So the issue of his birth date, though it's interesting, and there are good reasons to think it's of different dates, as mentioned in my article, the significant factor is his death for us, his sacrificial death. Regardless of the birth date of Yeshua, then, please don't miss the greater point that he was born to die. And also, please listen to the earlier audio that I did on the Word becoming flesh and how that is incredibly important to us. Our incarnational theology is unique among all the revelations given in Scripture. This is perhaps the most profound, that God himself clothed himself with our frailty and our flesh and became one with us. The atonement began from his side, and we partake of that by faith. We receive what he has done for us, so may you take hold of that. So God bless you, friend. May this be a good holiday season for you. May you find peace. May you find joy. May you rejoice in what God has done for you, and above all, find gratitude. If you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling sad or unhappy within, please look for the blessing that's in your life. Be thankful for what you have. Look at your circumstances. Consider the hand of God is at work. Like Joseph, sometimes these matters are hidden from us. This is the concept of Hester Panim, the hiding of face. God orchestrated Joseph being sent to Egypt on ahead of his family. But he was with him through that process. It began with him being pulled out of the well and sold as a slave, but the Ishmaelites put him on a wagon filled with spices, and it was a ride with some comfort associated with it as he made his journey down to the land of Egypt, there to begin the process of accommodating the people of Israel as they sojourned in Egypt and later were to be rescued during the great time of the Exodus. So all this was part of God's plan, providential hand of God at work in Joseph's life. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And that's kind of a key thought in this Torah reading too. So if you're dealing with evil in your life and troubles, please do not give up hope. God's hand is always at work in our lives for those of us that have faith. The sun is shining even at nighttime or even on a cloudy day. Beauty for ashes, friends. I believe. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when feeling it not. And I believe in God even when God is silent. This is from an anonymous poem found on the wall of a cellar in Cologne, Germany, where some Jews hid from the Nazis. Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children. This is from Echa, or Lamentations 2:19. Though we can't control what happens in this world, we can trust that God is working all things together for our good, even in times of testing, even in times that are blatantly evil. Look at Romans 8:28, Genesis 50 to verse 20, and so on. Remember that God's sovereign hand is at work in all things. He works all things together for good for you. So receive that by faith. Have a good holiday season. Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, Chag Hanukkah Sameach, Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord for Yeshua. Amen. And let me conclude now with the Hebrew blessing from our Torah. Yevarechacha Hashem Yavishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai Panav Elecha Vikuneka, Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha Ve'esem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his healing love. B'shem Yeshua Meshichenu Hu Hadon. In the name of Jesus our Messiah, he is the Lord. Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov. Every blessing in Messiah be it on you by faith. Receive it now. Amen. For more information, visit us at www.hebrewforchristians.com or Google Learn Hebrew Free.